Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hogue, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN. Do 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 do.
Good afternoon. I'm hearing an echo. This.
I still hear it.
There is an echo. Ooh, that's not good. Maybe it'll go away. Or maybe it won't. Dan Long, you're going to get on that. I think it's coming from, it's definitely coming from the Adam Hogue podcast line. Or the Adam Hogue extraordinaire line.
So what is he doing? He's probably got an effect.
Hogue is he's doing something. Let's try to talk to him and see how bad it is. Ooh, Adam Hogue. Can you hear us, Adam? Can't hear us. No, we'll have to work on that one. Hi, Jared Payton. What's going on?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I am outstanding.
I was wondering how you got that cool effect. I was like, I don't have it, but you have it.
Well, I'm not exactly sure what's going on. Should I try it again? Adam Hogue, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, now we got it. Look at that. Look at that.
There we go.
What did I do?
You didn't do anything. It just did.
I didn't.
Good afternoon, Adam Hogue, from the Hogue Estate today. It's an amazing accomplishment that we've got.
We really love that, though. How you doing, Adam?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
So I wanted to start out the show today. We actually have had a major piece of history that went on this very day, this Sunday, August the 7th, 2016. And we've all experienced it today in some way, shape, or form. Ernie's experienced it. Back in the window every day now. Jared Payton, you've experienced it. Adam Hogue, you've experienced it. But I don't know if anybody knows that this has actually happened. So if you
was it Manny Machado hitting three home runs in three innings?
It's one guess. What I thought we would do today is just get everybody involved early in the show. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. If you can tell us what piece of history happened today. Something that has never happened before in the history of sports that we will always remember on August 7th, 2016, on a Sunday.
I know the answer. I just don't want to give it away.
Yeah, don't give it away. I know you know it because you're one of those guys.
I mean, this is a sport that I have perhaps not shown affection for. Is that fair, Adam, since you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, that's completely fair.
So I
I was watching it this morning.
You were watching it. You were watching it.
Well, it wasn't really on, but they...
were you watching it?
Because I'm not going to give it away, but they broke in and showed it.
Twitter watching? Not Twitter watching.
No, you can't Twitter watch it.
The network that covers that sport broke in.
Oh, because you were watching...
Because it wasn't on yet, because it was early.
Because
I don't want to give it away.
Listen, you're doing a very good job.
Okay.
I have mad respect for this gentleman because he had every reason to not do what he did, but he was able to do it anyway.
Leave it at that.
I mean, a lot of us when we're counted out in life and we don't have a chance. We mail it in. We say, you know what? My job is done here. I didn't get the job done.
Yeah.
But I did the best I could. I'm done dialing it in. Right?
Never mail it in, man.
So many people mail it in so many different days. Adam Hogue, have you ever mailed it in?
Probably.
Come on, Hogue. Hogue
didn't even want to admit to ever mailing it in.
I mean, there's like a day in.
I feel like a different
late December last year when the Bears are completely out of it, and it's like a Thursday, and you're like, nah.
See, I think like at some point in every single day, I've probably mailed it in. Well, at least at one point, like maybe you know if I'm
every single day.
Well, I'm at the gym, like, and maybe I'm in a yoga class, and I could push myself just a little bit harder. That one moment, I just don't do it. I mean, that's not. "Quote unquote," mailing it in, but this guy, like today, he went for the whole enchilada.
How do you mail it in a yoga class? Do you not stretch Downward dog enough.
You're in some position. You're
not holding it.
You're sweating like a pig, and you think, you know what? It's time for a little. What do they call that when you get on when you get on your knees and you put the head down?
Downward what? Dog.
There's
whoa.
There's come on, no.
Hey, come on.
This is a family show, Carm.
That's when you take a break in class. I can't believe I'm forgetting that. Mike, I think, knows what we're talking about. Mike, who made history today, Mike?
Jim Furyk.
What did
58.
He did, Mike.
He did. Thanks,
Jim. And he missed a birdie putt on the 18th by about an inch to go to 57.
Jim, Mike, what does this mean to you today, that what Jim Furyk has done? How will you remember this day?
Well, it's the beginning of August, and I'm going to the driving range. He's influenced me now. I'm going to have to work on a goofy swing like he has, but, man, that was just awesome.
Which range are you going to? Because I might meet you there after the show.
St. Andrews, one of the best practicing ranges around West Chicago.
Mike, are you on Twitter?
I am not.
Oh. Are you on Facebook?
No, sorry.
Do you have an Instagram?
I got an iPhone. That's about it.
Hey, right. We're working there. That's good.
Well, here, you can text the show, 312-981-7200. You can text it. I'm expecting a picture of you doing your Jim Furyk later this afternoon. We're going to hold you to this because Jim Furyk, you know what he would do today, Mike?
What's that?
He'd go out and practice just like you said you would. He would hold himself to it because he's Jim Furyk.
No, he wouldn't.
Yeah, it was awesome.
All right, Mike, if you text that picture in, we'll get you Lou Malnati's pizza. Can we hold you to that?
You can hold me now. I'll just have to find someone to take a picture of me doing it.
Okay. Well, you can get that done, Mike. I got confidence in you.
I do, too.
Thanks.
All right, Mike's our
winner. Carm, do I sense just like a hint of...
Yes, you do.
But Hogue, one thing that gets me, he's always hating. And when it comes to golf, not for everything else. He just doesn't like golf, and I get it, but... Did it come across your phone? How did you come across the news?
I just was checking everything that was going on today, getting prepared for the show, and then people and Jim Furyk was trending, and then you read the piece. One of six players to shoot 59 in PGA Tour competition. Furyk had done that before, and he won.
Do you know where he did it?
No. Where did he do it?
Conway Farms in Lake Forest,
okay,
right here.
Okay. There's a gap. That's a gap in my prep right there. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I know that he one-upped himself today, the final round of the Travelers, with the 58. So he has the PGA Tour history all to himself, Jim Furyk does. And this is what I like about him. He was out of the tournament. I mean, he was done. Shot a 72 on round three. But Furyk said, you know what? If I don't get to the range, if I don't work on some things, then I'm going to shoot that again, and I don't want to do that. So he reached out to his dad. He had his dad looking at his swing. Then he went to the practice range. He did extra work. And then he comes out and shoots a 58. And he had no chance to win the tournament. I mean, he shot 12 under par today, and he's still tied for seventh. But this guy, it wasn't about winning the tournament. It was about just doing everything that he could to get better. And I think that's inspirational for all of us, and that's really why I wanted to start the show there, Hogan.
So why are you dogging him here?
I'm not really dogging him.
A little bit.
I'm trying to think of what this would be the equivalent of. It's kind of like if a pitcher were to strike out 21 instead of 20.
That's okay. I'm not dogging Jim Furyk. I'm just kind of, you know, it's a little bit. There's like a subtle, really, really subtle dig at golf that only you would pick up on.
Yeah, and I picked up on it. It took me a little bit, but I picked up on it.
I think others picked up on it as too.
I don't know if they did.
JP, you want to talk some football?
That's what he wanted to do. Well, he wanted to start out that way, but
I got it next on the rundown. I figured we have a little fun with Jimmy Furyk and his course record 58, and just make this. I really just wanted to make the point that here at WGN on the beat, we're on top of everything that goes on in the sporting world, and there was history in the golf world today. I thought maybe people would call up and say Alex Rodriguez retiring, but nobody did that, or at least nobody got through the Dan Long screening process to do that. And so did anybody call up and say that, Dan Long?
No A-Rods.
No A-Rods.
None?
Okay. So the calls were everybody knew Jim Furyk?
Is it bad that I don't care that A-Rod's retiring?
Well, here, we're
We'll talk about
let's do a little A-Rod next. And at 3:35, I want to get into reasons for optimism with you two on the Chicago Bears. And
Bears.
I spent a ton of time reading everything you've written this morning, Adam Hogue. So I have thoughts on
like over the last week and a half.
Yeah, I've just
you just finally caught up.
You listen. There's a lot going on in the world.
I know.
So I wanted to catch up on all things Adam Hogue this morning, and I have a lot of thoughts on it, what Adam Hogue has done with his life in the past week.
That's a lot of reading.
It was a significant amount
of
reading.
A lot of writing.
Yes, and a lot of writing. Yeah. All right. So quick timeout. A-Rod's retiring. How does that tie in? There actually are two tie-ins to this city. Both on the north side. So we'll do that coming back. 720 WGN.
The last 4 weeks have not been fun. It's been very painful and embarrassing to sit on the bench. It's been awkward. So from that sense, I'm very happy that we found a solution.
Great job by Dan Long with the You Don't Know How It Feels. For Alex Rodriguez, welcome back to The Beat. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hogue. He's Jared Payton. With you till 6 today on 720 WGN. What did you say with A-Rod, Adam Hogue? You said you didn't know how you should feel?
No, I just don't care. I guess I've just lost so much respect for him over the years that I just, it's almost like, oh, he's still playing? Even?
True.
That's just how I feel personally.
I'm excited that he's retiring. Like, get out of here. Like, I'm sick of hearing your name. It's one thing to cheat once. It's one thing to lie about it. But then it's another thing to cheat twice, sue your team, do everything you absolutely can to try to recoup as much dollars as you can, and then to finally... He didn't retire either. They cut him. And then he... And they're letting him play, you know, one more game at Yankee Stadium next Friday. But he's still going to collect the $27 million that is owed to him. This guy is the ultimate taker.
Yes.
Take.
I'm with both. Listen, I'm with both of you guys. I mean, Hogue, I'm with you because it's like this guy is still playing. Like, what? And then I think it's time for him to go. Just walk away in the sunset. You got money for days. You'll never have to worry. I'm with you, Carm. If you can ask for forgiveness. I get that. You lie. You cheat. You lie about it. You try to come back. I ain't got no respect for somebody like that. It's time to go.
I've interviewed A-Rod, and like there was one thing in something I read today where it said that A-Rod, when people would come up to interview him, he would look at their credential and decide whether or not they worked for a big enough organization that he'd be willing to talk to them.
Wow.
Right? Now, that's the first time I read that today, but when I was working in Kansas City, the Yankees were in town, and I go up to interview him after whatever game it was, and he was just like, hang on. It was like he was waiting for like the big shooters to come over to see if they were going to come over, and then they weren't. And he's like, okay, go ahead, like dude, and it's one thing if like you're the manager or somebody like that where you know you absolutely have to talk, so you might want to wait for everybody to get there so you do it just one time. But that wasn't the case with A-Rod here. Like, you're just a regular guy in this game, man. There's a million... I mean, you look around that Yankees clubhouse at that time, you see Derek Jeter. You see a gazillion... You see Mariano Rivera. You see 8,000, you know, talented dudes. And he was, you know, obviously super talented. But I was never a fan. The whole trotting and just everything about that dude. But it's the way he's going out is so A-Rod.
It is so A-Rod.
It is, yeah.
It is. Yeah. It's so A-Rod. Like, this is only the way where they want to cut you, but nah, you know what? We're gonna give you one more chance at Yankee Stadium. Come on out.
And they're giving him an advisor role, too. Like, he's going to be...
Advising what?
Right, what are you advising?
What do I need you to advise these youngsters on? What not to do? If that's the case, then yes, we need to talk.
Did you guys hear him last year in the playoffs doing some TV work?
Yep. He was on the Fox set, right?
He wasn't that bad.
No, listen, he's a well-spoken, lying, but, you know, he sounds good guy, and he looks good, too.
He's made for TV.
He is.
I wanted to not like what he was doing, but he was actually kind of good. I kind of enjoyed it, and it was a weird feeling. So I mean, maybe he should just be doing that.
I mean, 696 home runs. That's fourth all time. Should A-Rod be in the Hall of Fame? 312-981-7200.
Come on.
Well, this,
you know, yeah. I'm starting to come over to the side of just put everyone in, though.
I think more people are moving that way.
That'd be nice, but that's never going to happen, though, Hogue.
It might, man. I'm not sure. Hey, we got quick time. I will get you into news. A little more on A-Rod after the break, and then we'll move on to Bears optimism and everything that Adam Hogue has seen over the past week or so. Of course, JP dialed in with the football as well. Bears looking for a center now that Hronis Grasu is looks like he's going to be done for the season with an ACL tear. It's a 720 WGN. This is The Beat. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hogue. He's Jared Payton. Rocking with you till 6 o'clock today. It's probably the lamest I've sounded in a while.
You sounded pretty cool when you said that. Yeah.
Did I?
Rocking.
Let's see. Hey, before we get into the Bears, I got to read one text that just came in here. It's very interesting. Yeah. I don't think this person was meaning to text the show. Hogue, check this out from the 708. Replanning my vacation. From Yellowstone, I'll be driving north to Glacier National Park, where I'll be staying at Two Medicine and Many Glacier Campground. It looks like I'll be leaving Yellowstone National Park the 10th, arriving at West Glacier on the 10th is what it says here, and we'll be spending some time there. The plan is to get to Twin Falls on September the 11th. The most common question I get from Facebook, how long will I be there? The answer is Two Medicine and Many Glacier. Actually, I don't know what that means either. But here's the kicker. I will be there long enough to take pictures of 7 or 8 different waterfalls. Okay. I hope to be back Thursday the 14th before Friday. I'm looking at 3 days without a shower and a 2-day drive back home at stay at a motel with a shower. So we have somebody who potentially is listening to the show talking 3 days without a shower.
Who should text like that?
That sounds like a phone conversation should be having. Yeah,
that's an email at a minimum.
Yes. We should text him back.
I just read it and was kind of thinking to myself, what's the longest you ever go no shower?
Hold on real quick. When they text the show, though, don't they get a text back?
They do. Thank you for texting. Yeah. Thank you.
But we should text back with some questions.
Okay, what should we ask?
I think we should ask.
The problem is September 11th, that's the Bears opener.
Okay.
Against the Texans. I mean, how are they going to miss the Bears game?
So should I write that?
We need to address the no shower. I mean, that's...
Well, what should we say about the no shower? By the way, we'll take text questions 312-981-7200 of what we can ask this person.
You have to shower and watch the Bears game, so we have to put some that together. Ho, come on, man. You're a writer. This is what you do.
Are you worried about missing the Bears game?
I mean, 3 days in Yellowstone without a shower. I feel like that's pretty standard.
Really?
I mean, you're in the outdoors, you're hiking. Yeah.
Are you worried about missing the Bears and Texans?
I once didn't take a shower for like 2 days coming to work here. So does that count? It was on Friday.
I remember that day.
Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. No one's here anyway.
I'm just going to go with this.
Well,
Are you worried about missing the Bears and Texans? Sincerely, The Beat, Adam Hogue.
No, don't sign who it is. Then it'll be even more confusing.
How about just sincerely? Okay, concern. How about a concern?
No, don't say. Just concerned about missing the Bears game.
Okay, all right, fine. There it goes.
There we go.
See what happens.
They're gonna be like, what?
Nah, they're gonna freak out. Oh my gosh, that was supposed to go to Sarah. Oh my goodness. You know someone's gonna be freaking out.
Okay, so let's move on. We'll keep you up to date on. I know that everybody's very interested in that texting conversation. It's the little things on a Sunday afternoon. So, Adam Hogue, you had a detailed piece on the Bears' new shiny, gonna go rush the passer Leonard Floyd, and you sat down with outside linebackers coach Clint Hurt, who's in charge of Leonard Floyd.
It's my guy.
You're a big Hurt guy, too?
It's my guy, man. He was at the U with me.
JP played for everybody.
Yeah, he was at the U with me.
Okay, so, all right. So we have confidence then in...
He got a little trouble down there, didn't he, JP?
We're not going to talk about that, He also got into a car crash with me as well, and Clinton Portis. All three of us got into a bad car crash, hit a wall, 79 miles per hour, no seatbelts.
Whoa.
Yep, got thrown out of the car, all three of us. We all lived. So, yes, happened about a couple days ago. The anniversary was a couple days ago.
Why would you?
Whoa.
How did
wait,
you
wait.
Explain how that happened?
Wait, how did you live?
All right, so this is what happened. Okay, we were coming back from Canes Fest, which is what we have in the summertime to like sign autographs for all of our fans. But what happened was we ended up taking my car. I had my convertible, and we decided to take that. Clint and I were roommates at the time. Clinton Portis jumped in the car earlier in the morning. Normally, we all had to get on the bus, offense and defense, to drive to this thing. Since Clint Hurt was a coach, he was my roommate, we decided we were just going to leave from there to go home because it was closer to our house. We go, we get there. Portis jumps in before we leave, and so we go. We get some McDonald's, go to the thing. We're leaving. My coach's wife, Don Salinger, looks at all three of us as we're leaving and says, "Don't forget to buckle your seatbelts." As we pulled down the roof, and then we took all of our seatbelts off. And we're driving on 95, headed back to Coral Gables. Clint Hurt, he was driving my car. He decided to maybe jump over three lanes because we were headed towards downtown. Another car was coming. And he swerved back. The car started doing S's. Next thing you know, we're listening to Biggie, Ready to Die. And we hit a wall going 75, probably 70-some miles per hour. No seatbelts.
Popped out of the car.
Yes, all three of us got thrown out of the car.
How far did you get thrown?
I got thrown 30 feet and landed on my stomach.
Oh.
We're just lucky.
You're okay?
We're lucky we didn't get run over. For some reason, I woke up that morning and decided to put on shorts in the summer of pants. I put on jeans. And everybody's looking at me, "Why are you putting on jeans?" I only had one scar. It was on my arm. But all three of us got thrown out. We got in a triangle. Clint Hurt was driving. He ended up his face underneath the right by the passenger side wheel. And I pulled him out, and his face was all covered with blood and scratched up. Teeth were missing. Yeah, pretty crazy.
Was anyone seriously hurt?
No. Portis, if you ever look at pictures of Clint Portis, look above his eye. There's a big gash that he has on one of his side of his eyes. But that was because he hit something as well. He was laying down in the back when it all happened.
I feel like once a show, JP just drops like a bombshell on us.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. It was just
that, no.
I'm just happy you're okay. Jeez, like yeah. That's like really serious.
Yeah, it was the craziest thing that ever happened to me.
All right.
Should've
died. What did you learn, Jared?
Yeah.
I learned that you need to always have your seatbelt on. But in that case, the doctor said if we weren't in the condition that we were in from Andrew Swayze and working out in the summer, and if we would have had our seatbelts on in that, we probably would have been injured more because when the car hit, it swung back and hit the other. It like twisted around and the car went like an accordion. So we're in the car. Our legs would have been messed up. It's just one of those freak incidents where we lived. We're glad that we didn't have our seatbelts on. It's crazy.
Wow.
Sorry.
So, okay. Before we just move on for just 1 second here, you were laying in the middle of the highway.
In the middle of the off ramp off of 95, right before you would get off going to Coral Gables.
Oh, so you got knocked off the highway onto the off ramp?
No. So there was an underpass too. So what I thought was going to happen, we were going to hit the wall and the car was going to flip over and like we were all going to fall down.
Oh my God.
So that's what I was scared on. And I was just holding the side of the car like as hard as I could. And the car just started spinning after it hit the wall the first time. My side airbag came out. The car didn't flip, and I got thrown out. And that's like one of the busiest parts on 95. And we're just lucky that there was no cars that were coming down that off-ramp with us because we would have got ran over.
Did you play that? Was this in season?
Yeah, this was before the season, the summer, right before the season. That was before we won the national championships.
Okay, so you, wow. So you played week one.
Yes, he ended up playing, yeah.
Practice the next day?
No, didn't practice the next day, but had some issues, you know, neck and back. That was just crazy.
Right.
Yeah. I should have been. They asked me if I got thrown out of the car. Nah, I shouldn't say all this stuff. I lied and said I didn't get thrown out of the car. And so they were asking me, they put Clint's on one of those, you know, those boards. And I told them I didn't get thrown out. And next thing you know, all I could think of was, my mom's going to kill me. All my books are all over. Because I was supposed to take my books back to the library. And they were all over the place. Oil everywhere. It was pretty insane.
Was that after Clint stopped playing already?
Yeah, Clint stopped playing. He was like our strength coach.
Because he had knee injuries, right? And then he just decided to go over to coaching?
Yeah, he was a bad mamma jamma, man. Whew. Sorry. But go ahead, Hoke. I didn't mean to drop that bomb on you, bro.
Well, I don't even know what I was.
I'm going to try to show I'm going to show Carm the picture just so he can see it.
I'm looking forward to looking at that at the break. Our 708 texter is replying back, and it says, no, I'm not going to worry about the Bears right now. I'm still trying to find vacation. And then I'm giving away a free night at the Canyon Village in Yellowstone. That would be September the 10th. I have no idea how to transfer to you, but if you are going to be there, it's all yours. So now I got.
Wow, they have no idea they're texting with WGN.
So now I have an opportunity, perhaps, to. I don't think that's legal, so I don't want to, you know.
I would.
But I feel like, you know, the 10th, the Cats are playing on the 10th. I can't do that. But
ask her if she can't find another. We got to get back to the shower thing, though.
Yeah.
Really, you can't find a place to shower for 3 days?
Okay, well, I'll text that right now.
Okay.
What about the lack of showering?
I love this. I think this is great.
Okay, lack of showering has been sent. All right, we will take a quick timeout right now and actually talk Bears football coming back here. And we're glad that Jared Payton is alive.
I'm definitely glad. That's crazy.
That is wild. Next week it'll be, who knows what we'll find out next Sunday.
Exactly. Right. Every week we learn something.
Yeah, it's cool. Michael Jordan just showed up at my house, and then they went downstairs, and me and MJ were playing pinball. That was last week. This week was a crash with Clinton Portis and the Bears linebacker coach. Okay, 720 WGN. Text line 312-981-7200 from the 705. This near-death story from JP, and you had the nerve to complain about your aching back yesterday. Hogue, hang your head in shame right now.
My back still hurts.
Adam Hogue
it's all good.
Getting muscled by Scott Hagel, the Chicago Bears, and blew out his back.
A what?
Yeah, it's been a rough 72 hours. A little bit better today, but I'm on John Fox's injury report for tomorrow. I'm day to day.
That's good. We need you. Don't forget.
And continuing the 708 texting, Canyon Village to campsite comes with free showers. There are no showers in Glacier National Park. I'll be camping in a tent. I will be extra dirty. There is a shower at the KOA campground in West Glacier, Montana, but it could be as much as $15. I mean, it's worth it $15 for a shower. It's worth it. $15 for a shower, though, is out of line. I agree. $15 for a shower is too much. Shower's got to be like $5. Come on.
Just jump in the river or something.
Well, no. At some point, you actually got to get clean.
You do have to get clean. Figure it out. $15 is
$15
nothing.
For a shower?
Well, if you're super dirty. Have you ever gone truck stop shower in your life? It's one of the great.
No,
never.
Why have you?
Well, when I was graduating from the University of Iowa, it was time to do the West Coast trip.
Were you at the world's largest truck stop in Iowa?
I wasn't there. We were somewhere else.
Okay.
But, we left out of Chicago, stopped in Iowa City, then did a little Nebraska, and then made our way to 4 Cubs-Rockies games in Coors Field. That was the year that Sammy was on his way to like 60, but he broke his hand or something? He ended up with 40.
He sneezed.
Yeah, that was before sneezing. This is probably right when he started doing things that he shouldn't be doing.
Like sneezing?
Well, right. And then we were like sitting there on a Sunday, which way, should we go back to Chicago or should we go on to Vegas? And we literally asked somebody in the parking lot, what should we do, back to Chicago, on to Vegas? And they screamed at us, Vegas! So we did. We went to Vegas and then L.A. and then all the way up the coast to Vancouver and all the way back. And at some point in that journey, there was a truck stop shower.
How'd you like Vancouver?
I liked Vancouver.
It's really nice. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Okay.
No offense, Carm, but JP's story about getting thrown out of a car 30 feet, landing onto an off ramp, it was a little bit better.
No, I know. I don't dispute this. So, okay, getting back into the Bears here. So your guy, Clint Hurt, is coaching up Leonard Floyd, the number one draft pick. Who's undersized as far as somebody who gets to the quarterback normally, but he's extremely, extremely talented athletically.
Yes.
Adam, you were there talking to him. It seems like they're super optimistic on this guy. I mean, what else would they be right now? But I mean, there's, I mean, he had, he, there are words like elite being thrown around, stuff like that. So I reading this, I got excited.
Well, Clint said that he could be special. I mean, that's the word he used, but he was also, and I'm not going to go through everything he said, but you can read it at WGNradio.com/Bears and really get a good idea of, really, I mean, I thought for an assistant coach, and we don't get to talk to these guys very much. This, we get to talk to, we got to talk to them last week, and then the next time we get to hear from them is the bye week, and then that's it. That's all the access that John Fox gives us to his assistant coaches. But Clint Hurt was really, I felt like, very informative. Gave us the strengths, gave us the weaknesses for Leonard Floyd. And I think was also realistic about, hey, look, he's got a lot to do right now, but long term has a lot of potential to be very good. I mean, he talked about the speed that he has, the excellent get off that he has off the line of scrimmage, which ideally is going to get offensive linemen, specifically tackles, to kind of cross up their feet. And when they do that, it doesn't really matter how, you know, how much stronger the offensive lineman is than you. That's where you have the advantage and can go through them with power because they're going to be off balance. So he really got into some of the technical aspects and also talked about how important he, Leonard Floyd's hands are going to be and how much he still has to develop his, the work with his hands to be able to beat offensive linemen. I find it, I mean, I'm a football geek, but I found it incredible to just kind of hear Clint Hurt talk about this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, Clint and I have had conversations as well, Adam. And when you talk with him, you got to love his passion for the game of football,
yeah,
the same way that he played, but the way that he talks about guys. And in my conversation with him was, you know, how good can this young man be? And he said, if everything goes right, he could be special because he has that gift. And I think the gift is being able to use that speed. We know when you get to this level, it's just a little bit different. And the guys that you're going against, the offensive linemen that you're going against, and it was in college. Credit by watching his film, his last year of at Georgia, kind of all over the place a little bit and how they used him. But there's something that you said to me that keeps sticking out is that when you look at him in his pads look like, they look big, you know?
Yeah.
Pictures in person, they just look big. He's got some more filling out to do. And I just, my question kind of to you is, do you think that he, even if he fills out, he gets bigger, gets stronger, does that speed ever go away? Or is that speed always going to be there? Can he keep that speed?
Well, and I think I get the feeling that they don't want him to lose that speed. So they're not as concerned with him filling out his pads as much as we probably are just talking about, just because it looks kind of funny. I mean, he just doesn't have the girth of a Lamar Houston, and he never is going to probably. But you know, you just hear the coaches talk about his other abilities, and this is a quote from Clint Hurt the other day talking about his ability to bend and get around the edge. It's just, he called it, here's a quote, "It's a very unique skill. It's something you can't teach. He just has it. His ability to bend, the flexibility, the fluidity in his hips obviously is uncanny, and his feel in the rush, when to take inside moves, when to dip his inside pad when he gets on the edge, and once he understands what to do with his hands so people can't get into his body, he can be special." That was the direct quote from Clint Hurt the other day. And so they obviously think that he has, you know, so many unique skills to his game that he can refine his technique a little bit and work on those hands, that the lack of strength and girth isn't going to matter as much. It's a little bit of a gamble, which we talked about, I think, back in April, even when they drafted him. But, you know, at least I can understand where they're coming from here. And, you know, there's a lot of pass rushers in the league that have different sizes and weights and length. Well, what it comes down to ultimately is how athletic you are, how fast you are, and do you have the techniques to be able to beat some of these bigger offensive linemen? And once you do, you can get to the quarterback.
Hey, let's get take a call real quick. You're 312-981-7200. You want to talk Bears football, from Leonard Floyd to anything else? I mean, the big news this week is that their center, Hronis Gersou, is going to be out for the season, most likely not official. The Bears will announce that tomorrow. There was no talk with the Bears are off today, so we'll find out tomorrow for sure. But that is the Sun-Times is reporting it, and Adam, I think that's what you believe as well. So, Mike, it wants to talk about Grissou now on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Great show. It is a big impact when you lose a center. And I know this guy is only second year, but now they're talking about Whitehair stepping in. He was projected at left guard. And now he's got to move to center. And how big of an impact this loss of Matt Slauson? Now, you look back, and they didn't sign him in the offseason. They probably could have got a pretty good deal on a veteran who's been healthy. And I think that is going to be a big impact on the Bears this year. I want your opinion.
Yeah, you're not alone on that, Mike. Thanks for the call. Go ahead, team football.
Go ahead, JP.
I mean, this is kind of from the beginning. I think we had these conversations from the beginning of the season before the year started of saying, mm-hmm. like, well, Slauson and everything that he could do, his ability to play, you know, center and play out, play guard. I mean, he gives you that versatility. But for what the Bears were trying to do and where this offense was going, especially in the run game, he probably didn't fit. But I always feel like you can never have enough offensive linemen, especially guys that are veterans. But I can understand why they made that move. But yeah, losing a guy, I want him to get well, but I was looking forward to seeing Grissou taking the next step in year two and getting stronger and seeing how he was going to pan out, because then starting to understand the future. And I think for me right now, it's a big question mark.
Hey, we got to take a little break and get into news, but we'll follow up on this coming back. And Adam Hoag wrote something about Grissou earlier in the week about how great he was doing. Now that is obviously out the window. So he was off to a great start this camp by all reports. And, in his second year was maybe going to take a leap forward. Not going to happen. That's what you... That's why you have depth on your roster, which the Bears limited by not bringing back or just oddly cutting, really, Matt Slauson. All right, news is next. We'll continue with the football talk right after 4 on 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago Sports Spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
4 o'clock hour underway. Cubs are in the bottom of the third, with the Oakland A's going for the sweep. Cubs are 27 games over 500. That ties them for their high water mark all season long, as they've been playing great baseball as of late. We'll do a little bit more on the Cubby a little bit later in the show. The 708 continuing texting the program. I don't think the 708 knows they're texting the program, which is cool. Now I'm all over the map, the 708 says. I'm having a campsite near Cascade along the river. I can pull that off in Colorado at Ansel.Wateris, W-A-T-E-R-U-S, and the Cache La Dot Padre River, P-O-U-D-R-E River. Sleeping elephant two and several, don't know what that means, elephant two and several.
Ooh.
I will have XM radio and should be able to find the game, ?
Should be able to, yeah.
Yeah, should be able to find the game.
Are they talking about the Bears game on XM radio?
Yes.
Okay.
She's going back. Whoever it is going back to the Bears game. So
you texted them about the Bears.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But they said that they weren't into the Bears yet.
Yeah. But now they're saying can't. Do you think I can get it on XM radio?
Okay. So they're making a move. What's the next question here, team?
My question is: are they actually messing with you?
What? No, don't ask that. We got to keep this conversation going.
Will you be sleeping next to an elephant?
Yes.
My theory
darn
is
it, Carm, you are awesome. That is the question.
That seems
dangerous. We need to figure out what this elephant is.
I'm going
to
add on, that seems dangerous. I don't want our listeners getting hurt here.
That's a good response.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just showing concern. We'll see what happens on that one. All right, moving along. So, Jay Cutler.
Oh, man.
Would you say, and I really actually want to get both of your
please
reasons for optimism. Because I think that Cuddy Like one of his quotes from this week that I read, he, you know, how was practice yesterday? Well, we kind of took like a half step back. Like he's very honest to the point that he's not optimistic. Like sometimes he is, but he's just.
But he also complimented the offensive line.
Yeah, which is now a problem. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Okay, so I mean, I just feel like he sort of just. He focuses on what could go wrong or where the problems potentially are. Is that fair?
I just feel like Cuddy will never win in this city. It's like he never gets. I've had an understanding, and I don't know about both you guys. I've had an understanding that, listen, for everything that I want out of a quarterback and that I see from other quarterbacks out of the league, yeah, I don't know, guys that talk a lot more or that are, you know, out there in the open more. That's not Cuddy, man. I had to come to that realization, and I'm cool with it. But I don't think he's too – he just speaks his mind and when he wanted to speak. But maybe it doesn't come out the way people want it to come out, I guess. I don't know.
Hoagie?
I'm struggling to figure out what he did wrong here now.
It's not that he did anything wrong. I just feel like Cuddy is being the most honest of anyone and is basically telling Bears fans to not be optimistic about this season.
No.
I think he was just reacting to the practice he just got done with. The wide receivers were horrible. The offensive line was better, and he just said that. I don't think it was that big of a deal.
I mean, okay, I don't want to make it out like I'm making it a big deal. He just, to me, he's just...
You're making it a big deal.
I'm not.
What's a big deal is he just lost his starting center for the year, and number 17 is still not practicing for whatever reason.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
You wouldn't have a problem with anyone on this team. I think number 17 should be at the top of the list right now.
So you've got Alshon Jeffrey with the forever reoccurring hamstring injury. You've got Eddie Royal, who somehow got a concussion. Zach Miller, tight end extraordinaire, who's always been hurt and got a 2-year deal, and he's been concussed. Those three have been out. You've had Kyle Long miss 4 practices with a calf strain, and now you've lost your center, Hronis Grisou. And it's all early. I mean, none of this really matters long term if they're healthy once the season starts. I get it. But that's a lot.
But it's all some of those people that you just named have had question marks on can they stay healthy? And I think. For me, it was Zach Miller and Alshon Jeffrey. Like, is this something that's going to be a reoccurring issue? Because I don't know. Hoag, you tell me. I know guys nowadays, they take off practice or take off camp because they don't really want to practice. Camp's short, man. It's not like how it used to be. So if that's the case, then I understand. But for Alshon, he's not a dude that I feel like can do that.
Yeah, you got to earn that.
You got to earn that. You have to be a guy that can take off because we know you're going to do something. Odell Beckham, you get a little bit of tweak there, sit out. We know what you're going to do. We know you're going to be here. You play 16 games, you're good. Alshon still hasn't shown that. So
Lovey used to do that with his vets all the time. I mean, you know, Brian Urlacher. Want a day off? Lance Briggs. Want a day off? Peanut Tillman. You want a day off? Julius Peppers. We get days off. Matt Forte. Days off. They earned it.
Stop right there, Hoagie. All those guys that you talked about, they produced and they showed up every single day. We need Al. And for Alshon, it's not good for you. Because if this becomes a reoccurring issue for a guy that wants top dollar. How are we supposed to give you top dollar if you can't stay healthy?
Well, that's why they didn't, right?
No.
Yep, this is exactly why they tagged him.
This is why they tagged him.
Which, by the way, it's not exactly like he's going to be living in the poorhouse. What's he making this year, Adam?
Over $14 million.
it's good money.
Yeah, but he didn't get the long-term deal. He didn't, and if he doesn't produce and get out there this year, he's not going to get what he's looking for, which is around $14 million a year.
Right, I suppose, but I think even if he played, call it 9 games like he did last year, the Bears will then be in a position to either A, tag him again and give him $16 million, whatever it would be, or they would say no, and then you put him on the market someone's paying that dude. Like, he really doesn't even have to play 16 games. He probably doesn't even have to play 12 games. If that dude is out there for half the season and he produces decently in half the game, someone's going to pay him. And that's a rough position for the Bears to be in, right?
I don't think anyone's giving him a five-year deal or anything like that. Maybe another year prove it deal. I mean, you gotta be available. John Fox says that all the time. Yep. You have to be available. If you're not available, you're not of any use to the team.
Well, okay, let's say that they didn't tag him this year. What do you think would have happened?
What do you mean if they didn't tag
him? If they had said we're cutting Alshon and we're making it, and he was released and he could have been a free agent, what type of money do you think he would have gotten this offseason? I think he would have got him boatload. At least a 4-year deal. No?
I think he would have gotten around somewhere with what the Bears were willing to pay him.
Which was like what?
He's not getting Dez Bryant money.
No.
Maybe $11-12 million a year. And he wanted more than that.
And everybody's like, does he deserve that? Listen, you have to show it, man. You have to show if you deserve that type of money. Like, you have to be out on the football field. And I want him to make that money, because not only are the Bears looking at him, but there's other teams that are out there just with they have money that he can make. But if you're not on the football field, come on, man. It's no discussion.
Text line 847, the problem might be the D is improved, harder to practice against. That's not the issue.
Well, I'm actually looking forward to the defense. I always thought the defense was from the offseason till now that they were going to be better. I was more worried about the offense.
Well, let's look at a couple different angles here, okay? If he has what was called a mild hamstring strain, right?
Yes.
Is it the Bears being careful with him? Or is it Alshon saying, well, I know how much I need to produce once the regular season comes around, so I'm not pushing this. I don't want this to turn into what happened last year.
It's hard to know with him, man.
And is that okay? Because I get the sense the Bears want him on the practice field right now.
Yeah, I would have to say agree as well. I just, for Kevin White's sake, I mean, you got to have a healthy Alshon. Those two have to be able to work off of each other, man.
I understand they need him, and playmakers are important in the NFL, and having good players and talented people are important in any organization in life. You don't fire your top accountant because, well, it's an interesting, like let's say you're an accounting firm. You got an amazing accountant, but you can't rely on him to come to work. When he's there, dude's incredible. I mean, he's got those numbers down, and he can probably do in 3 days what the rest of your guys can do in five. You firing that guy because he only shows up 3 days, the other two he's hung over. I mean, that's basically what it's like with Alshon right now, yeah. on some level.
But I think at a certain point, you just have enough.
Right. Or have had enough, right? Like, yeah. I just can't take it anymore. Man.
And they're not there yet. I mean, it's only August. It's ultimately going to be determined by how many of these 16 games he plays.
I don't know, though, Hogue. I feel like there's some kind of divide there.
Alshon's like the girl that you date that she's absolutely incredible when she's around, but like she's doing things on other days, you have no idea what's going on.
I think you started the segment by asking us for reasons for optimism, and then we just complained for like 15 straight minutes. I'll give you one thing. So Kevin White got the day off the other day, which I thought was odd for somebody who's never played an NFL game. But he was back out there yesterday at Soldier Field and looked pretty good.
He is pretty good.
Jay hit him on about a 15-yarder, kind of a up-the-middle type seam pass, and he caught it and started running, and it looked very natural. Looked like what Bears fans want to see on Sundays.
And, Hogue, that's been kind of a common theme, though, for those two. Seems like they're getting some type of a relationship, which is going to be beneficial in the long run.
One thing that I read that's reason for optimism is that the new offensive coordinator replacing Adam Gase is basically a mini-Jay. Dowell Loggins and Jay are like buddies. Is that true, Hogue?
Well, apparently they're on similar wavelengths, which I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing. But, yeah, Kyle Long was quoted as saying it's like Jay Cutler. It's Jay and Mini Jay.
Is that because he's just kissing Big Jay's you-know-what?
hey, look, I've covered way too many of these training camps and I've heard these stories every single year about him and his offensive coordinators. Okay. Let's see what happens when the season starts.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And if Alshon Jeffrey's not out there and he doesn't have a center again, and now Matt Forte's not out there and Zach Miller's hurt. Okay. Let's see what their relationship is like when all that's going on.
So looking forward to this season now. Goodness gracious.
Football. All right. We're going to talk to Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network, get you your college football look around the conference coming up at 4:30 this week on Chicago's Best. It's all about the great outdoors. Brittany and Elliot, grab a bite and get some fresh air on Chicago's Best Al Fresco, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. I'm waiting for another text from the 708 to report back to you after this timeout on 720 WGN. This is The Beat. He's Jared Payton. He's Adam Hogue. I'm Mark Carmen with you till 6 o'clock. Hope you're having a great Sunday. Team Carm was out this morning, 11 o'clock on the softball field, 0-for-2 with a walk, but a 4-3 thrilling victory playing right field. Had an error, too, by the way.
What? Whoa, whoa, whoa. 0-for-2 with an error. That's terrible in softball.
Yeah, it was awful. Absolutely. Well, I was 0-for-1 with a walk because I did have a sacrifice fly in my first at bat, driving in the runner from third, but a sac fly in softball is unacceptable. But, yeah, I was awful today. Base hit to right in like heavy green grass, and somehow, some way, it just went under my legs, which is just embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't go very far.
Not good.
Didn't go very far, but I did end up costing the team a base, so I apologize to all my teammates out there who are, you know, doing their best to carry me this season. So Monday nights, when I play, I rarely make an out. Sunday nights, haven't gotten a hit all season long.
What's going on with you? You need to change up your...
I don't know.
Staying out too late on Saturdays?
It's not that. That ain't it. Nothing exciting is going on over here. I was asleep last night by 10.
Hey, I have a question for JP.
Okay.
What did you think about Brett Favre going to the Hall of Fame yesterday?
Excited for him.
I love Brett Favre.
I have had an opportunity to sit down, talk with him, be around him, and he is one of the nicest guys, and it pains me to say that because he played for the Packers, but he's actually a nice guy to sit down and talk with.
Let's actually take the high road right now in Chicago. 312-981-7200. Love talking to you. I'd love you to call in right now and congratulate Brett Favre on his Hall of Fame career, and we'll send him the whole MP3 to the Favre household and say, hey, Brett, I'm from Chicago. I hated losing to you every single time, basically.
It pained me.
But I appreciate how competitive you were.
I think you just got to have respect for the guy.
And I just respect you. Let's see if we as a city, Sunday listeners on a WGN The Beat love affair, 312-981-7200. Can we compliment Brett Favre from the heart?
Listen, if you don't dislike the man for other stuff that went on, I can understand it. As a football player, you bet you have to respect the guy. You have to.
You talking about his choice of pictures that he's sending?
Pictures, some of the other stuff. I mean, everybody makes mistakes. But on the football field, you have to respect the guy, man. He was a warrior.
Phone lines.
Meanwhile,
phone lines lighting up for people that want to compliment Brett Favre.
Right. Yeah, that's...
Jesus.
Sounds like it.
We may get a couple. What were you going to say, JP, my bad?
No, nothing. That was it. I was done. He was pretty good.
How do you...
I am, like, counting down the minutes, though, to the football game tonight. How disturbing is that?
Well, if people might forget, the Bears are in action on Thursday, huh?
They are. They are on Thursday against the Broncos. But tonight, it's the Hall of Fame game, Packers and Colts. The idea of having football on tonight, for whatever reason, I get excited for this one preseason game.
Me too.
Every year. And then, like, once I watch the first quarter, I'm like, oh, okay, it's preseason.
No,
but
I'm going to watch this thing from start to finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just glad football's back.
Start to finish.
I love football.
Carm, how much are you going to watch? Like 30 seconds?
I'll have it on the background.
I'm going with the big Zippo tonight, but I'll be Thursday night. I'm all in the whole way, baby. And I'll probably watch that game three times because, you know, we got to break down what's going on with everybody. But tonight, no, Packers and Colts, no. Can't do
Come
it.
Come on.
I got a big – we're having a family dinner.
Some guy named Ryan Callahan starting the game for the Packers.
Yeah, okay. All right, we have people – lots of people who want to compliment Brett Favre. 312-981-7200. Look at how classy Bears fans are. Ron, what do you want to say to Brett Favre?
Hey, big football fan, hated the Packers, but you got to appreciate what he did and how he played.
It's true.
Absolutely.
Well said, Ron. Thanks, short, Ron. Short and to the point. 312-981-7200. Robin, your thoughts on Brett Favre?
Hi. I have lived with a Packer fan for 25 years, living in Chicago, and I just know so much more about the Packers, and I have loved watching Brett Favre, wonderful quarterback, one of my favorites of all time, next to Willie Joe, of course. Congratulations, Brett.
Good job, Classy, Robin. Good job, Robin. That's what I'm talking about.
I feel bad that she had to live next to Packers fan for 25 years.
Yeah, and for people
we know what that's like.
Yeah, we do.
Well, and for people who don't listen to the show all the time, they may have missed the story when Jared Payton was offered a tryout with the Green Bay Packers and said no.
No, it's not even that. My wife is from Wisconsin.
Well, I think it's more than you actually had a tryout with the Packers offered to you and you said no.
I know, that's huge, but I married a Packer fan, which makes the white life even crazier.
Are you telling me that she, really?
Yes.
Wow.
We've talked about this before.
We've talked about this before.
Not when
we've also talked about how we've talked about this before.
Yes, we have. It's tough, man. It is really, really tough.
Listen, it's hard to get through this head of mine at times. I don't believe that I was here when we talked about this.
Yes, we did. And we had this exact conversation.
No, we did not.
We talked about it before. Yes, we did.
I'm so not present.
Hogue, you're awesome. I love it. Hogue, you remember everything, man.
Well, I remember this because I remember even having like the car. We've been over this before.
Give me one more.
Carm, I love you, man.
I apologize.
Listen, I can't say his name. I forgot it now. Fesslering over there?
No, I'm not Fesslering.
All right, cool.
I want some more Favre love.
You got more?
Yeah. KC apparently has partied with Favre.
Uh-oh.
Keep it clean, KC.
I'll do my very best. It was his last game before he retired. The Packers came to play the Bears. Soldiers Field, New Year's Eve, and you know all the players are on the bus at the Westin Hotel, ready to go over to the Soldiers Field. You know, Brett Favre's nowhere around. You know, everyone's waiting at the elevator for him to come out, and you know, he comes out the back door, surrounded by the sheriff and all these police and all that, and go out to the game. They win. After the game, the Packers disappear. But what's left back at the Westin Hotel is his wife and Donald Driver's wife and, you know, just a few people. So it was a pretty cool night to hang out with a couple of the players' wives and their friends and what have you. It was interesting, to say the least.
So congratulations, Brett Favre.
all day long.
Okay.
You know, Bears fan, born and raised, but, you know, superstar player, right?
He was, no doubt.
No doubt.
All right, Casey, cool that you had that experience.
I'm impressed that this many people are calling in and admitting this.
They're out there.
Good.
We'll do one more, and then we'll get to news. Darren, you got a Favre thought?
Hey, this is Darren from Iowa. I will never, ever congratulate a Packer at the Hall of Fame, but I will say Brett Favre deserves it.
I think you just did what you said you wouldn't do, Darren.
Darren, what are you doing?
He deserves it, but I will never congratulate him. Never.
Okay.
I was happy when they knocked him out of the game.
It's a blurred line, right?
Go Hawkeyes.
That's a blurred line. Yeah, go Hawks. Thanks, Darren. All right. Not exactly sure what happened there with Darren, but that's cool.
Wooten knocked him out.
Corey Wooten.
Minnesota. He retired a couple weeks ago, yeah, Corey Wooten.
Five-year career for Corey Wooten. No longer. Go Cats.
Go Cats.
Underrated Bear.
Yes.
I enjoyed myself some Corey Wooten at Northwestern and with the Bears. .720 WGN. He's Adam Hogue. He's Jared Payton. I'm Mark Carmen. Dan Long producing. This is The Beat. With you till 6 o'clock. Cubs on top of the A's now 1-0. Chris Bryant a solo bomb.
27th of the year.
It's a little bit redundant. When it's 1-0, it would have to be a solo bomb. Just calling myself out there. And before we get to our friend Howard Griffith, who does great work for the Big Ten Network, in 1 second, I do want to continue the 708 texting conversation and his trip. Beacon Rock Formation, the 708 texting in. I don't think he thinks he's texting the show. Beacon Rock Formation at the top of the cliff that looks like a sleeping elephant. There's Lizard Head Pass and Rabbit Ears Pass. Garden of the Gods has a lot of rock formations that look like things. I was working at the cost of the trip, $542.02, $202.71 for gas, $183.31 for camping, $114 for gear, $42 for food. I'm looking at a minimum of $542 for 10 days. Solid, solid deal.
Solid.
I'm going to write him back saying, what happens if gas prices go up? How will you factor that in?
Let's do it.
Hogan. Why are these text messages so long?
This is how they communicate.
Just pick up the phone and call.
Well, I'm assuming it's a he. He's a texter.
I think it's a she.
Okay, I'll ask that too. Hey, well, let's get on track here. Howard Griffith, Big Ten Network. How are you, sir?
I'm good, fellas. How you guys doing today?
Howard's on the phone. What's up, baby?
You know, Jared, listen, man. I mean, are you ever going to call me? I mean, it's like I disappeared, man. You never call me anymore.
You know what? We need to rekindle our friendship, man. You know
what
I'm saying?
We're going to have to sit down and really discuss this thing.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's talk right now, though. Can we talk now? Go ahead.
Wait, hold on 1 second. Howard and I used to be friends too. Like I'd see him at the health club. We would have a little handshake around a lunchtime.
Where have you been? I mean, you're not coming to the health club on a regular basis anymore. Or you're just hanging out on the deck.
Well, you know what? Howard? Let me just tell you, by the looks across the room right now, he's putting in some work, but not probably what he should be doing.
He's staring at my turtle stomach right now, and that is unfortunate.
Hey, whoa.
I know Adam's busy, you know, chasing the Bears, seeing how those guys are doing as well. All three of you guys have been very busy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I got to get in on this too, Howard. We've been friends before. I used to work with you at the Big Ten Network.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of left, and now you're all successful and stuff. And now, you know, I'm disappointed because you're so successful, and I'm just kind of toiling around. I'm actually just starting a bus trip today. About 3,700 miles trip. We're going to see all 14 schools over the next, I don't know, 17 days or so, maybe 18. But it's good.
Well,
Can't complain.
Let's start looking around the conference with the guy that's getting all the attention all the time, which is kind of how he likes it, even though he acts like he doesn't. That would be good old Jim Harbaugh. do you think? I mean, most people are saying that, Howard, that he's just good for the Big Ten, that it's good that he's bringing in positive and negative, people hating, people loving. What's your take on good old the former Bear quarterback, now head coach of Michigan?
Look, I think when you talk about Coach Harbaugh, he's doing absolutely everything he can within the rules to advance his program on the recruiting trail, whether it's satellite camps. I know that gets a lot of buzz, a lot of talk. But, you know, he's putting, a great team together. You talk about recruiting, that's the lifeblood of any team. I think he's doing a tremendous job there. I think it's going to be fun to really watch his defense play now that they brought Don Brown in from Boston College. Keep in mind, that's one of the top defenses in all of college football. And he has incredible athletes now. And he didn't have necessarily that caliber of athlete when he was in at Boston College, but now he's going to have some guys on the team that really are going to be difference makers, guys that are going to be high draft picks, guys that are going to be able to, you know, make some huge contributions at the next level. So it's going to be fun to watch this Michigan team, but I think one of the keys, yeah, they've got to get their quarterback situation straightened out. That's going to be a big part of whether or not that team is going to be able to really compete against the Ohio State of the world and the Michigan State as well.
Well, you look at the polls already early, especially the AP poll. You look at Ohio State, Michigan all being on there. Howard, how do you see the East kind of playing itself out? Is it Ohio State taking the crown, or Michigan State, or Michigan going to be able to maybe get the top and win that division?
you know, we're going to see our first school tomorrow, and then I'll see Ohio State, I think, on Tuesday. So I'll see Indiana tomorrow, and then I'll get an opportunity to see. But just now, just off the cuff, you know, to me, it's still Ohio State because they have, you know, JT Barrett coming back, experienced quarterback that no longer is looking over his shoulder, knows he's going to be the starter. I think they're going to have a defense that's obviously replacing a lot of guys that have gone to the next level, 12 guys getting drafted in the NFL, 14 that obviously went in, but I think this is a team that's really talented, that's going to reload. When you look at Michigan, you look at Michigan State, both teams need to replace quarterbacks there. And I think that, to me, if you're going to win the Big Ten title, have an opportunity to get the inch, chances are you're going to have an experienced quarterback to be able to get you there. So without seeing them, you know, I think, you know, Ohio State is a team to beat right now coming out of the East and will be representing the East. But that could change in the next week or so.
Just the fact that we're talking college football right now with Howard Griffin has me jacked up right now. It's that time of year again. Howard, you know, there was a storyline this offseason that kind of surprised me because I don't really think it's that big of a deal. And that's this idea that the Big Ten West and Big Ten East are so far apart. Now, I'm not trying to say the West is as good as the East. It's not. But, you know, there were three 10-win teams in the West last year, and all three of those teams are coming back strong. And you got Lovey now with Illinois. We'll see how that goes. There were actual questions that were brought up at Big Ten Media Days about do we need to realign the divisions again? And that just seems crazy to me. I mean, there's going to be waves of different teams playing well over a certain amount of years. But, I mean, Michigan just came off like an 8-year run of being bad, and now they're back. I just don't think that means that we need to toss this whole thing up again.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, and I think you look at the traditional powers, you look and you see Penn State over there, you see Ohio State over there, you see Michigan, and obviously what Michigan State has been able to do the last 9 years, the consistency that they've had, you know, it is a bit lopsided. But then you look at, you know, the job that Iowa continues to do, and Iowa's always going to be interesting and fascinating to me because when people don't think that they're going to be able to get something done, that's when they go out and run off the type of season that they had last year. This year is going to be much different for them this year because their expectations are going to be much higher. Talk about having a veteran quarterback coming back, some young players, and to really still have an experienced team. So I do think that the East is out in front. I mean, I think it's hard to say that they're not. But I will say this, Northwestern has done a much better job of recruiting over the last, I'd say, 2 years, particularly when you look at their team. They have a young quarterback that's going to have an opportunity. I think he has a chance to explode. I think he can really take that next step. They'll have to take the leashes off of him and allow him to go out and throw the ball. But I think they put him in a situation last year with Jackson running the football that really, you know, allowed them to continue to play at a high level, even though they weren't throwing the ball as great as they probably need to win the Big Ten. I expect their passing game to get much better this year.
Howard, I know I get a chance to talk, you know, some football with you, and running backs always kind of seem to creep into our conversation. Ezekiel Elliott gone from Ohio State. Redshirt freshman Mike Weber, a lot of people talking about him. When you look at him on film, the way he wears his gloves and his tape looks exactly like Zeke. Is he going to be that next guy that's going to be able to help JT Barrett and Ohio State get over the hump and get to another championship?
Not a doubt in my mind. You would have seen more out of him last year, but he had an injury. When you watch Mike Weber, you look at what he was able to do in high school. He's a player that his high school system really was so much like what Ohio State runs. They run the spread, but they're going to get downhill quick. And when you look at Mike Weber, high school film, it looked really exactly like what Ohio State was doing. Unfortunately, he had the injury. And I think you still have to go through growing pains. You still have to learn the game because I think one of the things that Ezekiel Elliott brought to the table was his work ethic when cameras aren't on. And I mean, when the cameras are on, obviously that's game day, in my opinion. But for Mike Weber, I think he's got to continue to grow as a player, got to take care of the football, which I believe he can do. And I think he's going to take a lot of pressure off of J.T. Barrett. I think it's going to be his show. He's going to be, you know, probably that next special, that next great running back that Ohio State's going to have. And I think he's going to have every opportunity to do it. I'll get a chance to see him on Tuesday. But I'm really looking for big things out of him because I think he is a complete ball carrier, can block, can run the ball. He just has to get comfortable and they have to understand, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to be able to run and be consistent taking care of the football.
Howard, as you look at this Big Ten landscape right now, which team, in your opinion, isn't getting enough attention?
I would say, you know, I think you always have to be concerned about Nebraska because I think this being the second year with Coach Riley coming in with his system, he wants to throw the ball around. That's been his, you know, his MO since go back to even his pro game. He wants to throw, wants to be consistent throwing it, but that's not necessarily what, you know, their quarterback is able to do on a consistent basis. I think if they can run the quarterback a lot more this year, I think that's a team that you have to watch out for because they have talent. They're doing a really nice job recruiting. It looks like they're going to start to make some inroads into California, which they've already done with the wide receiver, Johnson, is committed to that quarterback. His quarterback from Carlsbad High School. They have another talented, probably a top 10 player, and Darnay, I believe it's Scott, I believe, his DB is unbelievable. So, you know, I think they're starting to make that push, but that's a team that has the resources to really make things happen. And it's about being able to get kids to campus and being able to see the campus. So I think when we talk about official visits, I think that's a school that's really going to have an opportunity to take the next level because now the parents can travel with their son to see the school. Before, they would just take care of the player. But now they've changed the rules so now that the parents are able to travel with two parents can come. So I think that's really going to help teams like Nebraska where it's difficult to get to as far as an unofficial visit is concerned. But I think they'll be able to maybe hold some teams off because some more family members will get an opportunity to see the school later when they can pay for their official visit.
Howard, what was your thoughts on the satellite camps and, you know, whatever Michigan wanted to run a camp in Florida or any school?
I don't have a problem with it. I think at the end of the day, you know, kids get an opportunity to go out and show their wares in front of other coaches. And it's just not, you know, the marquee school, whoever it may be, and obviously we're talking about Michigan here, but, you know, there are a lot of other schools that are able to take advantage of that. And I think that's, you know, where it all really starts. I think when you have 1AA, Division III, other schools that get an opportunity to see some kids and be able to have conversations with kids, work them out, I think that's the benefit. As long as kids get an opportunity to really go to college and they have that ability to play at the next level, I think the tricky part of it is, you know, the kids recognize that everybody's not going to play at a top 10 program. But you can still go to college. You can take advantage of what you can do athletically and that you can go on and come out of college debt-free. And I think that's got to be one of the big goals for these kids, to really understand that they can come out of school debt-free and use football for what it really is. But so many of our kids and around the country, they all want to play for the best schools, and it's not realistic. But I think they can all take the opportunity to really evaluate themselves, and they can talk with their high school coaches, and even the coaches that may be recruiting them at lower-level schools. I think it all really works out. So I think satellite camps are great. I like them. I don't have a problem with them.
Yeah, that
schools are willing to go spend the money, let them spend the money.
Yeah, I mean, that's the sick part about it. It's like people are worried about schools getting a competitive edge, but it's actually helping kids perhaps who can't afford to go to college or can barely afford to go get to college, get discovered.
Yeah. And it's tough. I mean, you get an opportunity to work out in front of coaches. You get some valuable feedback if you're a player that has aspirations of playing at the next level. But I say along with that, you know, there are only so many, you know, Division I, Division II, Division III scholarships that are out there. And I still think that the reality is it's probably easier to get an academic scholarship than it is an athletic scholarship. And, you know, I know we're watching college football, we're watching professional football this time of the year, and we're all anxious for it. Everybody wants to play at the very highest level that they possibly can. But I think they also have to be able to take a realistic approach at what they're trying to do and understand that the end goal, to me, is to come out of college debt-free with a great education. Because there are great lower-level schools that have tremendous education that really can set you up for life. And I think that's got to be the key and the goal for a lot of the young people that, you know, even if we're just talking about Chicago, running around in Chicago, they can have an opportunity to go on and have a successful career and be productive citizens.
Howard Griffin with us. One more question before we have to get out of here. Listen, I was at in Champaign the day that Lovey got announced. And listen, I'm not an alum, but I wanted to take the money out of my billfold and just give it to the university, because I feel like he's going to do something special. But I had a chance to talk with Wes Lunt and Keyshawn Vaughn, who's probably one of my favorite players in the Big Ten. I think he's going to have a huge year. Yes, I know he should be. But how good is it for Lovey to come into this situation, having a guy like Wes Lunt who can be a quarterback that at least helps you out a little bit coming into year one, having a guy like him and a running back like Vaughn?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be important. You know, Lovey is a defensive guy, and he wants to really control the game defensively. And I think that's what he's looking at, because, you know, I don't think he has enough guys there to really necessarily go out and win the West. I don't think he can get there but this year. But I think he has everything that can open up every door that he needs to open up to get to the top recruits, to make sure that they have an opportunity to see exactly what the University of Illinois has to offer. So I think Lovey's going to do a tremendous job, because he's going to have the time. He just has got to continue to make sure that his assistants are getting him to the point where he can close the deal. Because I think this, without a doubt, Lovey can be a closer, will be a closer, but it's going to be up to the assistant coaches. And to me, that's where the pressure has to be. Those guys have to put Lovey in a position where he has an opportunity to reel in some of the top players that are here in the state and keep them home. Because if he gets in front of them, he's going to have that opportunity, but he's got to get to that point. And we know, you know, head coaches aren't allowed necessarily a lot of times to be out on the road, particularly during the spring. So it's assistant coaches that have to be able to make the contact, to be able to do all the legwork to put their head coach in a position where he can close. But we have to be able to see if that can happen. But it's no doubt in my mind that, you know, I think Lovey's the right guy. There's a lot of excitement around the program right now. And I think if you just spend, you know, 5 minutes, which I know you guys have had a chance to be around him, ask questions, you know, he's a special guy. He truly is. And I know he takes a lot of flack for, you know, being kind of monotone and not getting excited. But I think him being even keel is something that the young people can really take advantage of. And it'll be fun to watch the university and see how he's able to have some success there.
Howard Griffith, the former Fighting Illini, Big Ten Network, Denver Bronco. Superstar human being. We love you, Howard. Thank you.
Carmen, text in the mail for that one.
Thanks,
guys,
Howard.
Adam, you guys have a great one. Keep it up. Howard. And you do the same. And hopefully we can get together, guys, after this trip.
All right. Sounds good.
Absolutely. Howard Griffith for the Big Ten Network joining us here on 720 WGN. A little college football talk for you. Opportunity for you to win something around the Olympics coming up after 5. I hope you enjoy the college football talk. 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
It's getting more and more interesting with the 708.
Yes.
You're just joining the program. We've been having an ongoing texting marathon with a gentleman who is going on vacation.
You don't know if it's a gentleman.
We don't know, actually. That's true. We don't know if it's a gentleman.
This has been going on for like the whole show.
Yeah. Now
it gets deeper now.
I mean, the first text, if I can go back in time here, was at, let's see here.
It had to be around three.
Just click on the one conversation.
Yeah, no, I'm there. Oh, okay. Right, Adam.
Thanks, Hogue.
Very good, Hogue.
Yep, I got you.
I had that. I thought I had that up. I'll figure that out in a second. But I asked him, he just texted in, the texter just texted in, the cost of the trip, $542 total, $202.71 for gas, $183.31 for camping, $114 gear, $42 for food, which I thought was light. So I texted back, what kind of food are you going to be eating? And he says, I'm thinking prepared tacos that I can heat up on the grill in foil and Al's beef, which doesn't seem like something I would bring on a camping trip. You know, like nuts and peanut butter in a plastic bag and crackers. That's like kind of the standard. This, tell me that's not a gentleman. Al's beef, this is definitely a male. cereal, I don't know, Honey Nut Cheerios. So now I'm starting to wonder, are we being duped here? Is this trip not happening, Hogue?
Well, I tried to suggest that to you about an hour ago.
You did?
And I got cut off.
Well, I didn't want to believe it.
I didn't either, I'll be honest.
Because I did start to get the feeling that maybe this guy is messing with us, and not the other way around.
You know the sleep. This is another one of his texts along with the food. You know the sleeping elephant can be a nickname for one of the Cubs players. How he played over the last six wins. I'm thinking over the 50 innings mark for Cubs games this year. I don't know what that means. Lost income will be between $600 and the trending number. I don't know what the trending number is. And then the trip is also backwards. If I was going to bring back marijuana from Colorado to Illinois. So there's that too. Now we're getting creative and perhaps illicit, but don't do that, sir. That'd be a bad idea.
I think this person knows he's texting WGN just looking through this history, but man, are these weird texts.
Yes, Dan?
Also, the weird comment about going over the 50 innings mark for Cub games.
What does that
capitalize
mean?
The word mark. Maybe it's a cryptic message to you.
Cryptic message, yes. To me.
He knows who you are.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely,
or he saw your interview with Mark Pryor.
Yeah, he addressed you there, Mark.
Now, do I need to be worried? Is something bad going to happen to me?
Maybe
you
it's
might.
Fessler.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Well, let's move on then.
Now, I think you should go to Yellowstone with this guy.
Now this is getting weird.
I don't have that Hoag, you know, budget and vacation time. I can't just randomly go off to Yellowstone. Though I am thinking about randomly going off to the U.S. Open. If you'd like to join me, Adam.
Good.
Yeah,
thanks, though. I'm going to save my money for real vacations.
Yeah, me too.
Really? How about just a one day, JP? Me and you, we're going to fly out of Midway. We're gonna land at LaGuardia at 9 in the morning. We're going to get on we'll take a little bus over to the Gray Tennis Center, about 15-minute ride. And then we're going to be there. We'll be sitting in the grandstand, court 3. For, you know, the next 10 hours and just live the dream of watching tennis all day.
I'd rather watch fencing.
I'll get you a couple cocktails. They've got good drinks at the U.S. Open. Food is quality. We could go into the U.S. Open Club. So you got to sneak in there a little bit. But we could get in there and go in the U.S. Open Club. They got a whole buffet for you.
How much does that cost?
It's like it's an expensive buffet, but not too bad. Like it's maybe, I think, 25. But you've got like shrimp and carved.
25 what?
Bucks. You got car. You got bucks. You got dollars.
Okay,
that's cool. But shrimp and carved meats and all sorts of salads and, you know, all sorts of desserts.
$25. We can do that.
We can do that. We can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice move. Hoag, you in yet?
No.
No, I'm still out.
Okay.
Right. I'm not. Hey, I know you wanted to get to the Olympics.
Yeah, I got a fun one here. Go ahead.
I did watch some of the Olympics this morning, so I do have a couple thoughts. But there's a very odd story coming out of Canton, Ohio right now, where the Hall of Fame game is going to get played tonight.
Okay.
Between the Packers and the Colts. The field is all messed up. And I'm following Pete Doherty, who covers the Packers. I'm following him on Twitter right now. And, like, apparently some of the field turf, you know, the rubber pellets that are in there, like, actually melted somehow. And there's, like, just chunks of rubber on the field.
There's been some stories around that rubber as far as
health concerns.
Massive health concerns, particularly for young kids playing on that, playing soccer on it, and goalies especially.
Causing cancer.
Right, causing cancer because the ball is being kicked at you and they're ingesting some of this stuff. Now, I'm not saying that your kid shouldn't be on that soccer field, but there are. Read up on it for yourself. There's which you would just think, you know, you've got all these tire, you know, it just doesn't seem like there wouldn't be a problem at some point with this type of stuff.
Well, that's what they are. They're ground up tires.
Right.
I mean, and then they're spread. So, but something's going, I don't know how big of an issue this is, but there's some pictures of like Packers personnel meeting with Colts personnel at midfield and it almost sounds like the game could be in jeopardy tonight.
So you're saying that we might not have football?
That's what I'm saying, and I'm very worried about it.
You might not have your football tonight, buddy.
It's all good. We'll figure it out. I'll watch one of the replays of a CFL game that I have on my DVR.
Get you a video of my tennis match victory yesterday over Will, one of the great wins of all of the whole entire summer, JP.
I love these guys that just, you know their first names.
I you know, you got to meet your guy. I actually, we did this yesterday. But I want to read you, JP, the tennis mantra, because so many people loved it yesterday that they wanted to hear it again. It was amazing how many texts I got. People wanted to hear this again.
No.
Adam dialed out after number two.
No one cares.
No, they do. JP loves self-help stuff. JP, tennis mission number one. Apply this to your football or to your son's soccer. JP's been talking today all day, Adam, about how his son's going to be doing something.
He's a beast, man. My son's a beast.
How about this to your son? To be an extraordinary competitor who plays in competition at the high end of his skill and talent. You like that?
Love it.
How about this? To love the competition more than I love to win and accept whatever the outcome is with dignity and class.
Yes.
Can you feel that, right?
Are you saying these things before you play?
I will be in the future. After the match yesterday.
How come it didn't work with softball today?
We won to victory 4-3. It didn't not work. I was there. I was competing.
0-2, air.
0-1, air. Number three, to compete in the moment. You like being alive in the moment?
You got to live in the moment, Carm. You have to.
You're right?
Yes.
I knew JP would jump on this and he's like, you
fire.
Should, yes, right. Four, to avoid past tripping and future tripping. You don't think about the problems you've had in the past or the failures you've had in the past, and you don't allow that to
think about the moment.
Right. It's
right
the,
now.
It, right now. Number five, to compete for each point. Compete each play, whatever it is. Every single play, I'm ready to go.
I'm ready with you.
All right. It's number six, to compete with effortless effort. Like you're always just that's what you do. That's how you are. You feel me?
Yeah. Hey, Hogue, when did you check out? No, after two.
Now you're checking out at six.
Wait, what's going on?
See, there he is. He's
what are you
he's
guys
back.
Talking about?
He's back with us now. Yeah. I have to go do a TV show. I love you guys.
You're leaving right now? On number six, I got five more.
he's literally checking out, Carl.
I gotta go.
You can't leave it.
I'm just in my head checking out. He's gonna walk out of the studio.
You
on
can't
me.
Leave it.
Just email him to me.
Email him to you
so I can have him.
Hogue, you can't just do that.
We can read these later.
Dan Long, can we find JP? Is there something we can do here?
That's out of my jurisdiction, I think.
How about this one? Don't ever look back and regret not doing your best.
That's a good one.
Do you know who said that?
You?
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
Last night.
Oh, that's a beautiful one.
Because I'm reading it on Twitter right now.
Non-judgmental of myself, enjoy myself, be enthusiastic, forgive myself for the inability to achieve perfection, see the perceived pressure moments as the sweetest moments.
Sweetest moments.
Huh?
Yes.
And then last one, to have every match be an experience, every game, everywhere you grow as a person and a player.
Love it.
Every show.
You inspired me.
Your TV show tonight.
Inspired me.
This is an opportunity for you to grow as a person and a broadcaster.
I'm gonna actually mention this.
That's what you should do. The whole. I mean, just look Josh Friedman in the eyes tonight,
yes,
and tell him this is an opportunity for the two of you to grow.
I think there's one more on your list.
Which would that be?
Keep your tennis experiences on the tennis court.
Thank you, thank you, Hogue. That's the best one out of
right?
there. Yes, I love it.
What's the least popular Olympic sport? And what's
tennis.
And what's the most popular? It's not tennis.
Handball.
It's not handball. We're going to do that coming back. Opportunity to win some Lou Malnati's. JP, you go have a great show.
Sports Feed.
Sports Feed at 6 on CLTV.
See ya.
Use the 12 that I just gave you to guide you.
Dan Long and Adam Hogue, love you guys as well.
Right back at you.
Quick timeout, 720 WGN. Good news for the Chicago Cubs. RBI double, Anthony Rizzo, 3-0 Cubs, top eight, and Dexter Fowler just sprinting around the bases, the hamstring injury looking healthy. Those things tend to linger, Adam Hogue, and he looks...
Yeah, just ask Alshon.
Right? We don't need another Alshon Jeffrey in center field for the Cubs, which, by the way, that was partly Dexter Fowler's reputation before he got to Chicago, that he played when he wanted to play and would get a thumbnail injury and would be out a week. But since he got here, he hasn't been like that really at all. So there's that. All right. Adam Hogue. We're all alone now, by the way, just me and you.
Yeah. That's okay. I deal with you for 4 hours on Saturdays.
What do you think? 312-981-7200 opportunity to win Lou Malnati's. You tell, what is the least popular Olympic sport? What is the least popular Olympic sport?
According to what, though?
Well, okay.
TV ratings or?
No, this is a slightly non-scientific poll, but it has been put together by, I don't want to give away the website so people can you know, Google and try to get the answer here. But it's been put together by a very credible website, and what they did was they had competition, sports versus sports, and over 1,000 people were polled. What would you watch between this and that? And it's we have a very clear winner. Well, not very clear, but we have a very clear what's at the bottom, and then significantly at the bottom is this sport. And
so it's fans that are watching,
right?
Voting.
This is fan voting. 312-981-7200. The least favorite Olympic sport. And I mean, should I read them off, Hoagie?
Well, can I guess?
You can guess. Go ahead. Sure.
This
is Summer Olympics, too, I should say. The least favorite summer Olympic sport. Yes.
Is it any of the shooting competitions?
No, it is not.
Is it equestrian?
It's one of the lower ones. Fine. It is equestrian. Now you've ruined the whole game. Now I'll take the second.
Well, then you should have let me guess.
Now I'll take the second lowest. The second lowest. God, terrible.
All right.
Just ruining brilliant games by At the Carm.
Sorry,
Hogue,
brilliant.
Hogue, equestrian. No one was going to get that. Hogue, equestrian. I'll take the second. I will take the second least popular sport now that Hogue has ruined the game. What's the most popular sport there, genius man? The most.
Gymnastics.
No.
Swimming.
No.
Track and field.
Swimming is 3, track and field is 5. Gymnastics is 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Really?
Yes. Okay, now you be quiet. Let me just, or don't give anything away, would you?
You asked me to guess.
No, I think you said, can I guess? Go to the, you said, can I guess? 100%.
Yeah, but right now with the most popular one, you told me to guess.
I understand, but now like you're naming every sport, so.
Basketball.
It's not basketball. Roosevelt, yes. What's the least popular Summer Olympic sport, my brother?
Wrestling.
Wrestling is right in the middle. It is not wrestling. Good effort, Roosevelt. 312-981-7200. Hogue ruined the game. What is the second least popular sport?
Yeah, get your question right.
What is the second least popular sport?
No, I didn't hear what Hogue said.
Mike has to think again because, Mike, I'll come to you in like two more
calls.
But
this, you could divide this up into, or is it just general? Because there are several events under that umbrella.
That's true, but this is you got to get specific for this answer. Very specific. There's a slight hint there. Mike, what you have on the screen is wrong, or was right, but Hogue took it from you. So you have to think about what's the second least. I'll give you a couple callers. Kathy, go ahead.
Did you just say Kathy?
I did, Kathy. Yeah.
Okay. Rowing.
Rowing is more popular. Rowing comes in. Hang on a second here. It's not the answer. You did not win, but rowing is right behind.
I like that pizza so much.
Oh. Next time, Kathy.
Bye.
Rowing comes right after tennis, before diving, and before canoe. Rowing. The number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Number 13, most popular, rowing. Hogue, you ever watch rowing?
Yeah, every once in a while. I mean, only in the Olympics.
But so you enjoy a row.
I was watching fencing today, and I was bored.
Fencing, not the answer either. I'll just start giving things away here. Fencing is...
The road race was crazy again today.
Fencing is 10th from the bottom, right ahead of badminton. All right, let's see.
Did you see the Dutch cyclist who cracked her spine in 3 places today?
I did not see that.
Yeah. She was leading the race. Went around a turn, just like went head first into a tree.
I did see what you showed me yesterday with the the gymnast who lost, who basically
broke
seven parts of his right leg after breaking his left leg 4 years ago.
Yeah, and then he tweeted out a video from his hospital bed saying he was going to win gold in 4 years.
Good for him.
Which, great attitude to have.
Yeah, not going to happen, but good for
him. You broke both your legs, though. I feel like it might be time to hang it up.
Yeah, it's time to move on, time to get going. Tom Petty once said it.
Love the attitude, though.
Yeah, don't let anybody tell you can't do things in life. Let's bring Mike back in. Mike, what's your answer? Yeah. What's your answer, Mike?
Synchronized swimming.
Mike, are you looking on the internet?
No, I'll be honest, man. The first one, I had guessed right when I was talking to him, and then once he told me to look for number two, I ain't gonna lie, man. I'm at work right now. I pulled over real quick, and I definitely looked it up. I ain't gonna lie to you, man.
Mike cheated. Mike legit cheated. Okay,
I had the first one. No, ask him. I had the first one.
Yeah, Mike, Adam, we have an inquiry. What do we do with Mike?
How do we prove he had the first one?
Well, he had it on the board. But I don't know if he didn't cheat at that point.
But maybe he could have looked that one up, too.
I was driving on the highway at that point.
I believe Mike, because he has come clean on this side. What do we do here? What do we do?
I'm fine.
You're fine? All right. Mike, you win.
You get the loose.
Synchronized swimming is your second.
Hey, thanks a lot,
congratulations. Equestrian was your least popular, then synchronized swimming. What do you think is the third least popular brilliance, Adam Hoge?
Rhythmic gymnastics.
That's fourth least. What's third? I'll give you a hint. It's a sport that I dog all the time.
Golf.
That's right.
It hasn't even been in the Olympics. How could they even say that?
That's where it comes in. Golf, third to last. Nobody wants to watch golf at the Olympics.
It hasn't been in the Olympics for 100 years or something.
Since 1904. But people were polled this year, what do they want to watch? Golf was third from the bottom. Know that.
Trampoline is a sport?
Behind shooting, sailing, archery, taekwondo, and then trampoline. Yes, there. Trampoline is ahead of golf by five sports.
What's the most popular?
Volleyball. Volleyball.
Oh, the beach volleyball?
Yeah. Volleyball is one, soccer two, swimming three, triathlon four, track and field five, rugby, water polo, basketball, handball, gymnastics. Your top 10.
I'm not going to lie. I was watching beach volleyball last night.
I bet you were. Modern pentathlon, tennis, rowing, diving, canoe, wrestling, cycling, boxing, table tennis, field hockey, judo, fencing, badminton, weightlifting, trampoline, taekwondo, archery, sailing, and then shooting, rhythmic gymnastics, golf, synchronized swimming, and equestrian. There you go.
I didn't follow any of that.
Somebody did. News is next, 720 WGN. This is The Beat. With you for another 20-some-odd minutes. Brian Noonan coming in at 6. The streak is over. 16 and a third scoreless innings for Kyle Hendricks. Finally gave up a solo homer after retiring 17 straight batters. Cubs still leading Oakland 3-1. Bottom A, Pedro Strop is on. Anything happens, we'll let you know right here. Adam Hoge, you pitching Kyle Hendricks in the playoffs? Did the playoffs start it tomorrow over John Lackey?
Yeah. Guy's got like a 2.17 ERA now after the home run.
I know, but John Lackey's like been on the mound in the World Series before in Game 7s and has won. I mean, if you're Joe Maddon, you've got this guy who's pitching ridiculous, but he's never done it in the moment. I mean, that's a hard decision, don't you
think?
Why
can't they both pitch?
Well, okay, what order are you slotting them? Like, what's the order?
Why don't you go Arrieta, Lester?
Uh-huh. Lackey
and then Hendricks.
Okay, it's the first playoff series. Isn't
Hamill the one that should be out?
And well, that's another thing. I mean, Hamill is
even think it's a conversation.
Hamill, well, hold on. You're okay. First of all, like Kyle Hendricks is amazing at home, right?
Okay.
So are you going to pitch him? He's been better he's been great everywhere, but he's been better at home, like basically unhittable. Let's say you have home field, right? You pitching
he's
him
on the road today. I guess he's playing the A's though.
Right. Are you throwing him at home in game two after you throw, I don't know. Right now, Arrieta's been hot the last couple of starts, but like Lester overall has been more consistent the last month. I mean, these really are the questions, by the way, for the Cubs right now. But
yeah, well, they got a whole another month and a half to figure it out. Almost 2 months.
But okay, you're saying you'd slot him four or three.
I think you could do it either way. But I kind of like putting him fourth because he could be, well. Okay,
you're probably not using four starters though in a best of five series, right? You're going.
Yeah, but why not do it if you have the pitching the Cubs do? You know what I mean?
Well, how about this scenario?
And save them for the next year.
How about this scenario? You lose game one and game two. Your series is your playoffs are on the line in game three. Who are you starting?
I might go. I think I go Hendricks. He's been so good.
That's what I think.
He's been so good. I mean, I understand your argument about like Lackey's been out there. He's done it. But who's the better pitcher right now?
Kyle Hendricks right now is the best pitcher on the staff.
I know.
He's got an ear. What if you
put Lackey out there and you lose? And all of a sudden the Cubs get swept. By the way, wow. Wouldn't that be huge? I mean, the city would be. You think 08, 09 was bad. Wow.
You think that I was taking a dig at golf. Listen to the upregulation of energy from you out of nowhere. Oh, that'd be amazing.
No. Come on. You know that's not me.
Oh, okay. That's fine. It's not you, but there's a small part of you that the White Sox diehard part of you, which is like 15% left, would take a little bit of joy. Come on, you can at least admit that. I'm not saying you're rooting for.
I would probably take some joy in the reaction, not the fact that they lost. Does that make sense?
Okay, fine. Fine. However you want to split that.
Mostly here. The reaction from you.
I won't talk to you for a little while. Kyle Hendricks on the year, assuming the Cubs hang on today, will be 11-7. He's going to have an ERA about 2.1. He came in today 2.22. Call it like 217. He'll have thrown 133 innings, and he's gonna have given in 133 innings. He's gonna have given up 101 hits. I mean, the guy's unbelievable.
I guess the point I was getting at, and you brought up the scenario of them losing game one and game two.
Well, even how about this?
If you were to get swept and Hendricks didn't even pitch and he's the best pitcher on your staff right now, that there's something wrong with that.
Right? And forget about even getting swept. Let's just say it's 1-1. Who are you going with? I guess it doesn't matter if you're going to throw four starters. But let's say that the way it spaces out is that they're not going to throw four starters. Are you bonging Lackey? And by the way, if you did that to John Lackey, he will kill you. John Lackey.
He probably would.
John Lackey will legit. I mean, he that would be. And you have him signed for another year. Like, John Lackey will have a complete and utter meltdown.
Hey, by the way, breaking news, Ichiro Suzuki, triple to right field. He has 3,000 career hits.
Wow.
Congrats to Ichiro.
Wow. Ichiro's got a 1,257 hits in Japan. He was a rookie at 30 years old. Mm-hmm. How crazy is that? That is an unbelievable career. Unbelievable.
Is he second only Pete Rose, like just in terms of, you know, the best hitter ever?
I mean,
just in terms of getting hits.
I mean, if you combine the both, which you can't, he's got more. You can't, which you can't do that. I get it.
Well, you can, but it's a different league.
I mean, Pete gets a lot of credit, he deserves it. But there's a lot of, you know, longevity gets played in huge there, right? I mean, would you really call him like? Would you say he's a better hitter than Ted Williams, mm-hmm. who had? Like, Ted Williams had years where he had an on-base percentage of 550. And it hit 400. You know, it's completely insane. Along with 500 homers.
Do you remember the game Mark Burley threw a complete game in, like, 90 minutes? I think it was in April of 2005, actually.
Okay. I was at one of his no-hitters in, what was it, 08 when Dwayne Wise made the catch?
Yeah, but this wasn't a no-hitter. It was just he got it. The game was over in like 90 minutes, like an hour and a half.
Oh, just a complete game, okay.
Start. He gave up three hits the entire game. Otherwise, he had a perfect game other than three hits. You know who had those three hits? One guy, Ichiro Suzuki. So no one on the entire team could hit him that day except Ichiro still got his three singles.
That's unbelievable. I think and the other thing about Ichiro, too, is like the most unique approach, right? The whole spinning Ichiro in the box that like only he could do was do. Kosuke Fukudome, there's a name, tried to do it with the Cubs and was successful like a month. And then everybody figured out, yeah, you're not. That's not going to work for you, buddy. And then he couldn't get a hit.
Yeah.
And he showed up on the south side, too, for a brief cup of coffee. But like the other thing with Ichiro is that he as great as he was, he didn't hit for power. But he was a great defender, too. He was a phenomenal outfielder.
Another story that just crossed, you'll appreciate this one. Your guy, at CoachFitz51, Pat Fitzgerald, tweeting out, I'm fired up to announce that Anthony Walker was chosen by his teammates to wear the number one jersey this fall.
Like he's going to wear number one, or is he just the cat? He's going to wear one. Okay.
The number one jersey, this is a quote from Fitz, which, yeah, I mean, fans familiar with Northwestern know that every year they vote, and the number one gets worn by one player. And this is, in Fitz's words, it's used to recognize a young man who truly embodies the values and character of the Northwestern football family. It is worn by someone who consistently dedicates himself as a great teammate, an excellent student, and an influential member of our community. It is more than just a flashy number. Here, it represents a way of life.
Well, and that's just super cool with Anthony Walker because talent-wise, I mean, this guy is a Heisman Trophy candidate. He's, I mean, top 10 player in the Big Ten type of level and apparently doing everything right off the field, too. I mean,
well, he's one of the best linebackers in the entire country. So he won't be wearing number 18 this year. He'll be wearing number one. So your eyes are going to have to adjust to that a little bit.
And you've talked to Anthony Walker a bunch, and I've talked to him too. He's a great kid. Right?
I'm sure Dave Ennett's already updated his chart for the first game. Hopefully he has some white out because I know it was already written out.
This is true. Dave Ennett is definitely he's calling Fitz right now. You couldn't have announced this beforehand?
Yeah.
Could you have given me a heads up?
I wrote out my chart a week ago. Come on.
I'm ready for PJ Fleck in Western Michigan and have been for 3 months. they're coming around, and of course Adam's gonna be on the sidelines all season long for Northwestern football. There is nothing better on a Saturday afternoon than when Fitz trudges off after the first half and he's either in a great mood or not in a great mood. Doesn't matter either way, and you stop him.
I got it.
That's your gig.
No, he knows. And look, there's just nothing better on Saturdays in general in college football. I just love it. Getting that little convo with Howard Griffith early on in the show, that felt good. I feel like I'm charged up for, you know, another week and not having college football. Although practice starts tomorrow for the Cats.
Yep. That is a true story.
Actually, I think most schools are starting tomorrow.
But real fast before we take a quick break here, 773 texted in as far as our Olympic game goes.
Mm-hmm.
He guesses at, hang on, I want to get it right here. Hold on a second. Sorry, Hogue. Bad job by At The Carm right now.
I can read you Mitch's tweet to us.
What did Mitch say?
Your guy Mitch. Another stirring rendition of Carm's games. I wonder if the sales staff is dialing hard for a sponsor.
523, Mitch is just my, I love you, Mitch. 773, text in at 523, as far as what's the least favorite Olympic sport, fencing, 523. 528, you guys play the dumbest ass games.
Well, yes. The ones that Carl comes up with, they're awful. Every time, they're awful.
My games are, I think if you polled this city, who comes up with the best games of anybody that gets to do radio in this city, At The Carm is definitely at the top. Don't you think, Dan Long?
Well, I think it's like that's become the bit itself now, is that anytime there's a relevant news story, we could make it into a horrible game.
It's so bad, it's good. It's like a traffic accident. You're driving, you know, you don't want a traffic accident, but when you're driving on the highway and there is one and you're cursing the whole time, but when you get there, you got to look and see what happened.
And then the one time you had a great game, which was your Chris Sale versus Jake Arrieta game, you ran out of questions.
Guys, we got breaking news from the newsroom.
Roger Badish is
the Hall of Fame game may not be played tonight.
We talked about that, Roger.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm just it's really coming across the wires and everything now.
I appreciate
so
that.
I just want to make sure that
appreciate that.
Thanks, Roger.
You're welcome.
Good to see you, Roger.
Good to see you guys too.
Good to hear you, Roger. Top 10 voice in all of radio, Roger Badish. So peaceful. Honestly, I just want to take a nap right now. Where's my MyPillow? It just puts me right.
Don't you have to take a break?
I do have to do that, actually. Yes, good call.
Oh, Roger.
Good call, Roger. All right, we'll wrap it up. Talk to Brian Noonan and find you a little something special on our way out. 720 WGN. This is The Beat. NFL seriously considering canceling the Hall of Fame game tonight. Packers and the Colts. Adam Hoge getting emotional and has more details as to what's going on. Hoge?
Yeah, this is just a bizarre story. So Tom Silverstein covers the Packers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And if you follow him on Twitter, here's kind of what his timeline is telling us right now. The issue with the field, it looked like, because there was a lot of pictures tweeted out, that these rubber pellets that are on these artificial surfaces, you know what I'm talking about. They're on all these artificial fields. Well, they had been like gathering in certain areas of the field, and there was too many of them, and they were trying to spread them out. But Tom writes that the issue isn't the rubber pellets themselves. It's that the paint on the field has done something to make them rise and cause sticky, soft spots, which is bizarre. So apparently where the paint was painted on over the pellets, something, it caused it to do something. And they were using a big brush that was trying to scrape the paint off. The workers have stopped power washing the paint in the middle of the field and are spreading the pellets around, trying to even them out. He continues, it looks like they've cleared a lot of the paint off, but an issue that hasn't been addressed is the end zone, where there's tons of paint. Looks like the workers are done removing the paint at midfield. Now they're trying to spread the pellets out.
Paint and pellets and NFL preseason. Adam Ho, you're the commissioner of the NFL. Decision, please.
I mean, I just don't think it's worth it for a preseason game, especially because these teams, this is going to be their fifth preseason game. I mean, the first of the year, but they're going to end up playing five of them because of this game that gets added on. So it just doesn't seem like it's worth it. You know, this is, and if I remember right, this was an issue last year. I think they had real grass last year, and it was ripped up to shreds, and there was a safety issue then, and I think that's why they put in this new artificial surface this year. And so I've never heard of this issue, though. With how many artificial fields are there across the country? So many, you know, college, high school, NFL, whatever it is. This is just so weird.
Yeah, I'd say bye-bye. Sorry, guys. We will refund your money. We're the NFL. We have more money than most countries.
I'm seeing some tweets from players that are saying the game was canceled.
And I don't see how you can play it under that position, because, you know, if players get hurt, then there's potential lawsuits, all that stuff going on. I say no go. Bears playing the Broncos Thursday night, Soldier Field. Thoughts on that, Adam Hoge? What should people be looking for?
Well, John Fox is going to try to get his revenge against the team that fired him and won the Super Bowl. I'm just kidding.
Huge preseason game, yeah. Number one.
No, here's what you're... I mean, it's probably going to be the normal starters play for a series or two, max.
Right.
And then you get them out of there, and you probably get a good look at a lot of your rookie class, though, because right now none of the rookies are running with the starters. That includes Leonard Floyd. So I think if you're interested in seeing those newcomers and the young guys on the team, you'll see plenty of them on Thursday night at Soldier Field against the Broncos.
Fair enough. The news of the day, we had Jim Furyk shooting a 58, first time in the history of golf that anyone has shot a 58. Furyk had actually shot a 59 before and was tied for the best round ever, but he shot a 58 today. Did not win the tournament, but still the best round ever. And Alex Rodriguez being released by the Yankees, but they're allowing him to stay around to play one more game at Yankee Stadium next Friday. He actually has a Cubs connection in a weird way. Never played for the Cubs. But when the Texas Rangers traded A-Rod to the Yankees, do you remember who he was traded for, Hoge?
when he was traded to the Yankees.
From
Alfonso Soriano.
Alfonso Soriano, former Cub.
Yeah.
So he was in the A-Rod deal. Mm-hmm. And it was Alfonso Soriano and Joaquin Arias for A-Rod. The Rangers were given a list of players that they could have taken. And they picked Arias. They could have had Robbie Cano as well.
Oh, man.
Right? Right?
Whoops.
Whoops is correct.
I guess those two guys are playing the same position, right?
I suppose, but like
Soriano and Cano were both second basemen.
But he got to Texas, and the Rangers forced Alfonso to play left field. And he hated it.
So who would have been their second baseman at the time?
I mean, you find somewhere to play Robbie Cano, right?
Yeah.